Amen. Praise God. Such a wonderful ceremony. Thank you, men. Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning and turn to the book of 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 2 this morning. Some of you know recently I went back home to spend a few days with my dad. He was not doing very well. And got the privilege of going through some of his stuff. Some of the things as a kid that he would say, you can't touch that. Don't look at that. Don't go there. But now that my mom's gone, she's been in heaven for over 18 years now. And him and the need that he is in, I had opportunity to go through some things and got to see some pictures of him in uniform, pictures of him with his men. And they're all lined up getting ready to go to Vietnam. Several of those men didn't make it back. And I was thinking about, you know, how proud I was as a son of my dad who served his country honorably. And I think about the reality is, though, every one of us cannot serve the military of the United States. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you're a part of God's army. You're a part of the Lord's army. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Father, I pray, God, that you would come, that you speak to our hearts. We thank you again for the veterans who've served our country. Lord, how proud and thankful we are of them. And I pray, God, you'd help us, Lord, as citizens of this country, always to be thankful. Without our thankfulness and our gratitude, where will we be? Lord, I pray, God, we'd be thankful, Lord, not only of this country, but of the kingdom that is coming. And Lord, for the privilege to be a soldier of Christ, may our ranks grow today. May we enlist others to be a part of the fight. I pray, God, that you'd help us to be proper representatives of the citizenship of the kingdom of God. Bless today. Speak to our hearts and challenge us and help us. Do what we cannot do. Speak to the hearts of people. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I want to talk about the importance of being a soldier of Christ. And what are three characteristics of a good soldier? What are three characteristics of a good soldier? First of all, a good soldier must be a spiritual soldier, a soldier of the Lord, must be spiritually strong. A soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ must be spiritually strong. 2 Timothy 2:1, Paul writes to his son in the faith, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You see, anything left to itself will naturally decay. You men who cut grass, no, if you don't cut the grass, especially in the summertime, you will walk out of your house to a lawn of weeds. If you're not careful, you'll look out the side and your patio will be filled with mildew and algae. You have to pressure wash it on a regular basis down here in the great state of Florida. Anything that's left to itself will physically die, and so it is in the spiritual life. If we don't choose to stay spiritually strong, we will be destroyed. How are you going to stay spiritually strong? First of all, you have to eat right. Now, some of you don't get scared now. I see that frightened look in some of your eyes. I'm talking about spiritually, not physical, right? The Bible says in Psalm 119:103, how sweet are the words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Jeremiah 15, verse 16, thy words were found. I did eat them And thy word was a joy unto me and rejoicing to my heart, for I call by thy name, I, O Lord of hosts. And I love lots of good books. I love reading historical books and sci-fi books and motorcycle magazines. But there's nothing that thrills my soul like the Word of God. Nothing's going to help me. Nothing's going to encourage me. Nothing's going to be there. Nothing's going to be more relevant. Books that were written thousands of years ago, you read them like we read the book of Psalms this morning, 2 Timothy, or just like they were written yesterday. Because it's the Word of God. So often we'll take a verse or two and we'll rush out the door. We'll get our spiritual Twinkie for the day and think we're okay. And then we wonder why we struggle in our spiritual life. I found this gem that was written in Billy Sunday's Bible. He wrote, 29 years ago with the Holy Spirit as my guide, I entered in the portico of Genesis, walked down the corridor of the Old Testament art galleries where pictures of Noah and Abraham, Moses, Joseph, Isaac, Jacob, and Daniel hung on the wall. I pass into the music room of the Psalms where the Spirit sweeps the keyboards of nature until it seems that every reed and pipe in God's great organ responds to the harp of David, the sweet singer of Israel. I enter the chamber of Ecclesiastes where the voice of the preacher is heard, and to the conservatory of Sharon, the lily of the valley, where the sweet spices fill the perfume and perfumed my life. I entered the business office of Proverbs and on into the observatory of the prophets where I saw telescopes of various sizes pointing to far-off events, concentrating on the bright and morning star which was arise above the moonlit hills of Judea for our salvation and redemption. I entered the audience room of the King of Kings, catching a vision by Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, thence into the correspondence room with Paul, Peter, James, and John writing their epistles. I stepped in the throne room of Revelation with a tower with glittering peaks where sits the King of Kings upon his throne of glory with the healing of our nation in his hand. And I cried out, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Oh, what a wonderful book, the Bible. Let me ask you a question this morning. When's the last time you feasted on this book? You say, there's an old saying, you are what you eat. You are what you eat. To the degree you feast on this book, to the degree you are growing spiritually, to the degree you do not feast on this book, it's the degree you are not growing spiritually. Second question, not only is what are you eating, but how about your exercise? Don't be afraid. I'm talking about spiritual exercise this morning. We want to be not only, we want to eat right, we want to exercise. Reading and hearing the Word of God is important, but what do we do with what we hear? What do we do with what we hear? We can exercise, first of all, our faith. Romans 4:20, Bible says, of Abraham, he staggered not the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. He didn't just talk about faith. He lived a life of faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk by faith, not by sight. You see, faith is like a muscle. If you do not use it, you will lose it. Faith is not something to be talked about. It's not something to text or tweet if you still do. Or Parler or MeWe or whatever we use it nowadays. It's to be exercised. I don't know if you've had the opportunity to move anyone out of their house recently. But a few years ago, a couple of men in the church that I was a part of had the opportunity to move a single lady and her daughter out of a house and into a second story apartment. And after a full day of moving, the next day I realized I had muscles I never thought I had. Those steps made me a believer in the importance of using what you have. We must exercise faith. We must exercise right living. Acts 24:16, and here I do exercise myself to always have a conscience void of offense towards God and towards man. Paul wanted to live a life without regrets, so he made a choice to be right with God and with others. And friends, that takes work. It does not just happen. People say, I want to be right with God. I want to love other people. When's the last time you went before God and confessed your sins? When's the last time you went to a brother or sister in this room and said, brother or sister in Christ, I was wrong. Will you forgive me? So if you want to be right with God and right with other people, it takes work. It takes holy sweat to be right with God and right with other people. Exercise your faith. Exercise right living. Exercise godliness. 1 Timothy 4:7, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather into godliness. For body exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of life that is now and that which is to come. See, each of us, by the grace of God, are to grow in our spiritual life. The author of Hebrews wrote in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14, but strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason use and have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. See, Paul is writing to Timothy here, and we're talking about 2 Timothy chapter 2, and he wants him to be successful in battle. And how is he going to be successful? By being spiritually strong. He had to eat proper. He had to have a proper diet. He had to exercise spiritually in the right areas of his life. But not only that, he had to be equipped. See, it's not just him doing the fighting. It's not him using the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It's not him just taking the shield of faith. It's in the power and strength of God Himself. It says there, in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Christian brother and sister of Christ, you don't fight this war alone. And thank God, we do not. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power, not of our might, but in the power of His might. Strength comes from His grace. We are first of all saved by His grace, not of ourselves. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, 24, being justified or declared not guilty freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We are strengthened by His grace. 2 Corinthians 12:9, and He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And we serve by His grace. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10, but by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, but by the grace of God which was with me. We are saved by His grace, we're strengthened by His grace, and we serve by His grace. We cannot win the battle on our own. It's only with the power and the strength and the grace of God. The world, the flesh, the devil are too strong, Christians. We must be on the Lord's side. We must go into the battle with Him. I remember when the book of Joshua was getting ready to go into the battle of Jericho. And the Bible says in Joshua chapter 5, verse 13, it says, it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, behold, there stood a man against with his sword in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said, art thou for us or our adversaries? He sees this man with a sword in his hand. Are you with us or are you against us? And I love the reply in verse 14. And he said, nay, but the captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship. And he said, what saith my Lord and this servant? The commander says, no, Joshua, you are not with me. I am with you, and I'm taking over. Dear friends, the battle is the Lord's. We will win. We must be a strong soldier. Secondly, we must be a single-minded soldier. How do we do that? Look there in verse 3, it says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but these last couple of days, I need a little bit of comfort. You? A little bit of comfort food. I don't know what your comfort food is. Mine is bowl peanuts. That's what I like. You may like chips or some other thing or crackers or fondue. I don't know what's best for you, but whatever it is, you like comfort food. We like a life of ease. But strong soldiers don't live in a life of ease. I love the words by the wonderful woman, missionary to India named Amy Carmichael. She wrote, "From subtle love of softening things, from easy choices, weakenings, not thus are spirits fortified, not this way went the crucified. For all that dims thy Calvary, O Lamb of God, deliver me." Oh, she didn't focus on the soft things. She focused on Jesus Christ, who endured hardness as a good soldier. God did not save us for ease, dear folks. God did not save us to be on the defense, but to engage our culture. Paul wrote, "I press towards the mark for the high calling in Christ Jesus." Christianity goes against the grain of the culture to say in the society that we live in, especially due to things last week, there is a right way and a wrong way to do things, that there is a truth. Goes against the grain of our society. And as the darker the night gets, to say the Bible is true, it's going to get even stranger for folks. We have to die to ourselves, saying no to temptation and stand alone for Christ. 2 Timothy 3:12, "Yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." If you're going to be in the battle, you're going to have to endure hardness. 1 Corinthians 15:15, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." We must endure hardness, but not only that, if we're going to be single-minded, we must erase entanglements. It says there in verse 4, "No man that warreth entangle himself with affairs of this life." I don't know if you've had recently the opportunity to go to Arlington Cemetery and see the changing of the guard at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. It is an incredible event. And if you never have the opportunity, I encourage you to go. If you can't go, you can probably find it on the internet. But it's an incredible thing. These soldiers are focused. These soldiers are not looking at that, what's going over there, or looking at what's going over there, or hearing the cell phone going over there, though I'm sure it's going on. They're focused because they have a duty, they have a discipline, they have a desire. And they're focused on that, not on the peripheral. And so many things, times in life, God has given us a plan. He's shown us His will through His Word. But we want to focus on what's going over here and what's going over here. The devil loves to distract you with the details. He likes to say, "Hey, do this over here. Focus on what's going over here. Hey, what's going over there?" And the whole while, instead of doing what we need to do, focusing on Jesus, we're doing what we want to do, what the devil wants us to do. We get messed up. We get messed up. James 1:8, "A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." We can't serve God and. We have to serve God. It's so easy to serve God and. Fill in the blank in your life, whatever the temptation is in your life, to serve God and. No, folks, we must choose to serve God. And thirdly, we must execute orders. When Paul was writing to Timothy, he wasn't giving him some suggestions. He didn't say, "Now, Timothy, I tell you what, how about thinking about, why don't you just pray about these things?" No, he was giving some commands that were to obey. He says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18, "This charge I commit to thee, O Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before thee, that thou mightest war a good warfare." These are things that I'm giving you. These are things that I'm writing from prison. They're going to help you. Obey these things. These are not suggestions. These are commandments. Listen to them. Paul has admonished the church in Philippi, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 1. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, and long for, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the word, my dearly beloved." He says, stand fast. The world is maybe in chaos. Is it in chaos? Yeah, it's in chaos. The world around you may be going crazy, but by the grace of God, stand, brother and sister in Christ. Stand on what's right. Stand for truth. Even though the house may be burning down, the country may be going crazy, choose to stand on the Word of God. To stand on the principles that are right, that are true. We sing trust and obey. We like the trust part, but the obey part is a little difficult, isn't it? We're supposed to trust God and obey God. There was a man A few centuries ago, by the name of C.T. Studd, he was in England. He played the game of cricket. Now, I never played the game of cricket, but he was a professional cricket player. He went to revival service and got saved. And God called him to India and several different countries to be used greatly of God. And he wrote a little book that I actually bought last week and started reading it. It's called The Chocolate Soldier. He said, man, soldiers look good. They look good, but when the heat of the adversity starts to come upon their life, they melt just like chocolate. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to be strong, and we need to be single-minded. But not only that, we must be secure. We must be secure soldiers. We must be strong soldiers. We must be single-minded soldiers. We must be secure. How do we become secure? We enlist. We enlist. There was a time and place with each one of you men in uniform chose to enlist. And if, folks, if we're going to succeed in life, we have to enlist in the Lord's army. If you don't know for sure the day, if you were to die to go to heaven, let me encourage you. You've come to the greatest recruiting office in the entire world, the church. We would love for you to join our ranks. We'd love you to be a part of our army. We're always recruiting, 24 hours, 365 a day. You don't have to see an officer. Just come as you are. We would love to have you. You remember that day where you enlisted? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, for this is a good acceptable in the sight of our God and our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. I don't care if you're smart or not smart. I don't care if you're tall or not so tall. I don't care if you have hair or not have hair. I don't care where you're from, where you've been. You can be saved today. Amen. I have no requirements. The only requirement is you realize you're a sinner and you need Jesus Christ to save your soul. Amen. You can enlist today. God has chosen you. Remember, some of you who've been in the army for so many years, remember that day you were enlisted. Remember what God has done for you. And by the grace of God, don't go AWOL. The Bible says of Demas, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. There used to be people sitting in these chairs that are not somewhere in some other good church. They're somewhere and we don't even know where they are because they've gone AWOL. They've used to serve with us and love on us and shake our hands and fellowship with us, but they've gone. We need to stay strong by the grace of God. Remember which team you play for. At the end of the season, the football season, I always watch the Army and Navy game. Why? Because it's the only game on. It's the last game of the year. But you can tell who's winning when you look up in the stands. Well, you used to be able to look up in the stands and see people. When you look up in the stands and see the different teams, you could tell who they were cheering on by the uniform they wear. Folks, as believers, people ought to see us and say, that's a Christian. We know which side he's on. When you go to the restaurant this afternoon, close your eyes, bow your head, and pray to the person who gave you eternal life. But don't just do that openly. Do that in your house. Do that throughout our week. We must enlist. We must enlist. We must evangelize. God's desire is that we encourage others to enlist. Most of you were encouraged, those men and women who wore the uniform, most of you were encouraged to enlist by some other person, a friend or a brother or a father. My best friend was named Chris, and oftentimes he would talk about his brothers that were in the military. They chummed me so often about wanting to go and being a part of that and being a part of that. It was an encouragement to my life to see people who loved their country. You hear about people today who talk about their relationship with God. I say to you often, we're either encouraging people to be more like Jesus or we're pointing people away from Jesus. Which is it? We hear this in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. The things thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach us others also. It's not just us who are part of it. We need to tell others, others, others. There are people across the street. There are people down the way on both sides who are heading to a devil's hell. And folks, if we don't share the gospel of Jesus Christ with folks, who will? We're in the Lord's army. May we tell them of how wonderful our commander has been. May we tell them of the grace and mercy that he's bestowed upon us. May we tell them of the bountiful blessings he's bestowed upon us. May we tell them of how he's taken care of us and helped us and strengthened us and provided for us and done all the wonderful things. We can complain about the state of the country, or we can talk about the captain of the host of the army of Israel. What are we going to do? Oh, I know it's easy to complain. I'm not happy either. But thank God there's better things to talk about. Yes, we must evangelize. Yes, we must enlist. And we must envision. Not just of what's going on right now, but what is going to happen. Folks, we're looking for a better country. We're looking forward to a better kingdom. 2 Timothy 4:6, Paul, writing his last words in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, for I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but to all men that also that love his appearing. Envision the wonderful destination and reward when the battle is over. There's coming a day, and that day could be the day when you put your sword down and it's over. Our commander has clearly told us our destination. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Oh, we're going to a better place. There'll be no more elections. There'll be no more electoral votes. There'll be no more computers or ballots. We will all bow down to King Jesus. There'll be no more Republicans. There'll be no more Democrats. We will worship the Lamb slain before the foundation of the earth. We will praise King Jesus. That day, my friend, is coming. It's not a might thing. It's not a could be thing. It's not a hope for. It's a sure thing. It's coming. It's coming. I know a man by the name of Curtis Hudson. His daughter used to be the pastor's wife. Pastor Rick Chandler, his daughter, used to be pastor's wife here at North Gainesville Baptist Church many years ago before Pastor Manning. He was dying of cancer. And as he preached his last sermon, he looked out to the audience. He said, folks, I'm going to heaven. And though things may be sad for me, I'm telling you right now, I am on the winning side. I'm on the winning side. They wrote a little song saying, I'm on the winning side. Yes, I'm on the winning side. No more in sin will I abide. I've enlisted in the fight for the cause of truth and right. Praise the Lord, I'm on the winning side. Dear friends, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, no matter your circumstances, no matter your situation, no matter the difficulty, no matter the problem, let me tell you, we win. That is the outcome. That is the outcome. We win. Father God, thank you for this day. Thank you for your mercy. Help us, Lord Jesus, to be strong soldiers. Help us, Lord Jesus, to stay in the fight for the cause of truth and right. Praise God. We are on the winning side. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving me. And I pray, Lord, for some in this room tonight, this morning, who does not know you, God, Father, please draw them to yourself so they will be in the army with us. As the piano plays that wonderful hymn, Just As I Am, with head bowed and eyes closed, maybe there's someone in this room. Say, Pastor, I don't know if I'm in the Lord's army or not. Oh, maybe there was a time, but you're just not sure. Let me ask you a question. If you died today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? You say maybe 50% or 60% or 70%, but you're not sure. Wouldn't you like to be sure? Wouldn't you like to be confident if you walked out those doors and you're driving down 39th Avenue and you got in an accident that you'd be in heaven the next moment and not hell? You can be. You can join, you can enlist, you can be a part of the army that I've been talking about today, today, not tomorrow, not next week. You can join today. If you're not sure you're saved, would you come? We're going to have a time of invitation. And if that invitation, as we stand up and sing, I pray you'd come. See myself, Brother Clayton, my wife, someone. We'd love to take a Bible and show you from the Word of God how you can be saved. Soldiers, soldiers, are you discouraged? Have you put the sword down? Are you no longer in the fight? Do you want to quit? Do you want to give up? Remember, the battle is hottest before it is almost over. The battle is hottest before it's almost over. It's almost time to see our commander-in-chief face to face. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't get discouraged. Don't drop out. Are you discouraged this morning? Are you defeated? Are you about to give up? I beg you not to. Pick the sword back up. Pick the shield back up. Put the helmet of salvation back up. Put the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Put the equipment back up and let's serve. The battle's not over. The battle's not finished. Let's stand to our feet. If you're here today, you don't know Jesus, would you come?